Now, if you've ever tried to use voice recognition software, you probably know how frustrating it is. This is the kind of software where you talk into it, and then it translates what you're saying into words on the screen to save you actually physically having to type them. And it can get frustrating when it continuously gets things wrong. Well, improved voice recognition software usually just means a bigger library of sounds to compare your voice against. But scientists at the University of Sheffield are trying to take a different approach to tackling the problem. And they've done it by building an artificial tongue and jaw, which mimics the movements that we make during speech so that we can understand a bit more about how speech gets made. And to find out a bit more, we've invited Professor Roger Moore from the University of Sheffield to join us. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Chris. Hi.
Thanks for joining us on The Naked Scientist. Very well, thank you. Tell us a bit about your study.
Well, this is actually the research of one of my PhD students called Robin Hoff. And he's essentially, as you say, put together an animatronic tongue and vocal tract, which we call Anton. It's just beginning to move right now, so it's a very early stage of development. But what we're going to be doing with this is studying the speech production mechanism in animatronic form. And we'll be able to, what this means is we'll be able to access data about how speech is produced, which is very, very difficult to get from the directly from the human system.
So just describe the system a bit for us. What does this tongue look like?
Yeah, well, it actually does look like a tongue, you'll be really relieved to hear. It's made from a sort of silicone gel with a sort of latex cover. It's been molded on a medical model. It's been embedded in a plastic skull. The skull is also derived from a real skull. And we're right now filling in the remainder of the vocal tract in order to complete the cavity, which will surround the tongue. And then the most important part of all this is that, of course, it has to move. And so we are connecting motors through filaments into the tongue itself to pull the equivalent of the different muscle groups.
So you can accurately model the muscles that are natively in the tongue in order to faithfully reproduce the movements the tongue would make when saying different words?
This is the idea, yes. We're trying to be as anatomically correct as we possibly can because this is important to the research. One of the key things that we need to find out, which is very difficult to do in any other way, is to measure the energy that is used to move the tongue into different positions.
And how will you do that with this model?
Well, it turns out that because it's a physical model, all we have to do, in fact, is measure the energy being used by each of the different motors, which is pulling on the respective muscle groups. So we will therefore have a very easy way of assessing the different energy uses across the whole of the model.
And how do you know which movements to make the tongue make in order to say different things?
Well, initially we're using some MRI scans from our colleagues in Grenoble and using that to establish sort of static positions that we will set up as targets. And
so in other words, what people do with their tongue when they're saying something?
Yes, that's right. I mean, first of all, we have to work with static sounds, you know, simple vowel sounds, and then we'll move on to dynamic sounds as the complexity of the model progresses. It would be possible to use machine learning techniques to allow the device, because it's all controlled by a computer, of course, to learn the relationship between the sound output and the control structures in order to then create the sounds that it wants by moving the tongue into the appropriate positions and using feedback, auditory feedback, on the sounds that's produced.
And will it actually speak to us, Roger? Is it possible to make it speak rather than just make movements?
Eventually it will speak. Right now it's moving. But it doesn't actually make a sound at all just at the moment. It will be vocalizing, we estimate, in a couple of months when we've completed the rest of the vocal tract. And it would be possible to control it through a whole range of sequence of movements, which would, you know, correspond to it saying something.
And the ultimate endpoint of doing this is exactly what?
Well, as I say, we really need to understand something about what's called the energetics of speech, because this is implicated in a lot of the so-called random variation that a lot of our automatic speech recognition devices experience right now. In fact, although speech is highly variable, it's not random at all. People are compensating, typically, for all kinds of situations that they find themselves in, and they change their voices. So, for example, the way that I'm speaking to you right now is very different to the way I would speak to my family. And if we all know that if you're in the pub, you're, you know, virtually shouting at your friends in order to be heard above the noise level. Those kinds of changes in the voice are well known but not well modeled. And that's what we're trying to get a handle on.
Thank you, Roger. If people want to find out a bit more about your work, where should they look?
Yes, they go to the Department of Computer Science website at Sheffield University. They will find both myself and Robin Hoff. Robin, in fact, has set up a site which has some videos there. There was an article in New Scientist this week, which also points to that.
Thank you, Roger. And does your secretary, is she called Moneypenny?
Yes, good one.
Thanks for joining us. Good to have you on the show.
Rightio.
That's Professor Roger Moore. He is from the University of Sheffield, and he's explaining to us there how Anton, that's animatronic tongue that he's built with his PhD student Robin Hoff, is actually going to help us to build better in the future voice recognition software.
Stripping down science.
Okay, let's do it.
The Naked Scientists.
This is The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith, Kat Arney and with Helen Scales.
Don't forget that we do beam this programme live into Second Life, and that's from 6pm UK time. That's 10am Second Life time. And there's a great group of avatars out there who discuss the science in the show. So if you'd like to join them, do visit the Scilands and then search The Naked Scientists. You can drop by our palatial mansion, relax on one of the sun loungers and listen to the show. And I'd like to say hello to all Second Life people listening to us out
there. Yeah, we're watching you. Tony Blair would approve. CCTV style. Now, if you are online, of course, we have a big favour to ask you, which is we're running a bit of a survey on The Naked Scientists to find out what you think of it and what you think we could do better and what you think we're already doing quite well. And it would help us enormously if you could fill that in. And a very big thank you to the people who already have. We're really grateful for your feedback. To do that, you go to nakedscientists.com/survey. And there are just some simple boxes you have to tick, or a couple of boxes where you can write something if you want to. And it should take no more than 5 minutes of your time. So if you could help us, we'd be really grateful. Thanks.